What I went into Tour the Fleece thinking was, I knew I was overzealous. And right away, I knew that if I didn't get some of this goal done, it was okay because I piled a lot on myself.
Today on Wool and Spinning Radio, we sat down together to discuss how Tour de Fleece went for each of us, what we accomplished, and what went well. We each had some finished spins, and Rebecca shares spinning while traveling again this summer, mostly focusing on her supported spindles. Dion spun an incredible amount of fiber and shares her favorites. Thank you for joining us in another episode. I hope you enjoy our conversation. If this is your first time tuning into Wool and Spinning Radio, welcome. This audio podcast is a spin-off from the original podcast available on YouTube at youtube.com/Rachel Smith. Rachel has been podcasting since 2014, talking about hand spinning and making yarn. Her passion is working with her hand-spun yarns in projects both knit and woven. Links to the website, Instagram, and more are available in the show notes and at patreon.com/woolandspinning. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to be a guest on Wool and Spinning Radio, please reach out to Rachel at rachel@welfordpearls.com. Until next month, keep wool close and your spindles closer. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Wool and Spinning Radio. I'm joined by Rebecca and Dion. We are gathered to chat about our post-Tour de Fleece spins. Thank you so much for joining us. Tour de Fleece is a really fun opportunity for spinners in the greater, wider hand spinning community because it happens while Tour de France is going. And a lot of people actually do watch the cycling race while they're spinning on their spinning wheels. And every year it seems to get a little bit bigger and there seems to be more and more teams. And some people take sort of a backseat and they just spin a little bit, watch the tour a little bit and participate sort of a moderate amount. But it does seem like every year it's getting, people are putting in more and more mileage and doing bigger and bigger projects, or they set a specific goal for themselves and they spin that goal, whether it's 15 minutes a day or a specific project, or they pull out some stash and they try to get through that. So it's just like a really fun, uniting event that happens every year. And then after Tour de France is, of course, Tour de Femme, and Tour de Fleece Femme goes with it. And it's sort of a quieter second Tour de Fleece. It tends to be, a lot of people tend to sort of spin their major projects and really kind of get into Tour de Fleece. And then by the time Tour de Fleece Femme comes, they're sort of a bit burned out and not quite as energetic with Tour de Fleece Femme. But what I really like about Tour de Fleece Femme is it's quite short and it is a great opportunity to focus on like one project or to do something a bit quieter, work through plying if you spun a bunch of singles in Tour de Fleece. It's just a really nice second event, although much, much quieter. So what Rebecca and Dion and I thought we would do today is sit down and chat about what we were able to accomplish during Tour de Fleece. And I'm going to hand it over to Rebecca to start us off with what we're working on while we record.
Sure. Well, we like to sort of set the stage for our conversation by kind of describing what we're working on while we're recording. Or sometimes we're not working on anything, but just sort of describe what your current project is, how it feels in your hands, like use your five senses and kind of put everybody in the room with us so they can just sit in the room with us while we spin and chat. Dion, you want to go first?
Yes, I am working on some CVM Gotland that I got from Bluebird Workshop, or I can't remember. I'm sorry about that. But this is 250 something grams. I spun it up during Tour de Femme and now I am plying it. It has a lovely sheen and I dyed it in the wool. And I just added a little bit of sari silk.
The photos you shared were just absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. And it's spun up nice and thin. So I'm just doing a two ply and I'm going to use it in weaving somehow.
Beautiful. And I see you are on a bright pink e-spinner.
Yes, I'm on my fun. Darling. Yes.
Very fun. I am also playing up my tortoise slash tortoise femme spin, which is a I'll talk more about this spin later, but it's a Kvyat blend, and I'm spinning it on my Ashford traditional, which is letting me know that it is not pleased with me for shutting it up for a month in the office. It's saying, I was neglected. I'm going to be a little bit stiff and noisy today. Rachel is
Not
eating
working. Yeah, I'm not working
lunch,
on anything. I'm
but
just sitting here, kind
yeah.
of enjoying the quiet and having a coffee. So,
Yeah.
I'm just totally in the moment right now. And actually, I left all of my knitting in the other room, and I have a couple of spins that are in progress that I, to be honest, I just couldn't be bothered to drag my wheel in here.
Fair.
So, yeah, that is, I'm not working on anything.
Well,
I am
great.
enjoying a very, very, very good decaf because I can't drink caffeinated coffee anymore because I get such bad palpitations now. So I just can't have it at all. I had a Starbucks tall Pike Place a few weeks ago because that their espresso machines were down, and I felt like I was gonna like my heart was gonna pound out of my chest. So I really
Oh,
can't have it
man.
anymore. So I'm having a very, very delicious decaf cold brew that's really, really nicely brewed and it's really well done. So I am enjoying that with a bit of soy milk in it.
Sounds good. So let's just dive in on the tour de fleece stuff because I think everybody's excited to hear about, what we worked on. Dion, I've seen some of your pictures and you managed to spin a huge volume of stuff. Can you talk about like how you arrived at that goal and like what tell us about your spinning experience, spinning that much?
Okay. I arrived at the goal because I had just bags of fiber falling over in my craft room, and I just knew I needed to spin up. I wanted to get a lot done. So one of the main ones I had was some bats I made for last year's tour de fleece that I didn't get to, and it was six bats. And they were dyed by me, and then I had silk added to them. And so that was a major one I wanted to get spun up. And I think I end up spinning six skeins of that.
Wow.
And then I plied each one with a type of thread to add color. So I kept them as singles. Yeah. So I did apply with those. And these will be used in weaving. And I was excited to get these done. And then I had got had some two bats from Hip Strings, and they were basically foundation was black with colors of green and purple and blue. And I knew I wanted to get those two bats spun up. And I really like the Hip Strings bats are 4 ounces each. So that was really nice.
Mega skein.
Mega skein, yeah. And then I had a lingering project from September of last year. I had combined some Montadale wool with 50% of a cotton hemp blend. And then I threw in a little bit of pink sari silk and orange sari silk. And that was very massive because Montadale is very dense. So carding it, you can't get a lot on the carder. Even like breaking it up to blend stuff in, it was a challenge. And so I had about 200 grams of that left to spin up. And I was doing a three ply because it just spun up really thin. And I got all of that done.
Nice.
Yeah. So I
That's a
have,
beautiful soft pink.
thank you. And I have a total of six skeins from this.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And then I had my breed blend color study. I had all the gray fiber. I bought three skeins of gray. And so I spun that up and I had about half of my sample pack left. And I added that in every once in a while throughout the grayscale.
So it's like gray with these like sort
Pops
of
of
barber pulled bits of the
the
gorgeous
other
muted
three
colors
colors.
in there.
Yes. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And then I had a project for a friend. She wanted me to make some purple yarn for her. So this is I got
It's very
it.
purple.
Yes, it's really like she loves purple. And this was BFL that I dyed in the wool. And of course I wanted to get it spun up into yarn by the end of Tour de Fleece. Yep. And then I have a few other just little skeins that I just wanted to get off bobbins and done up. But what I went into the Tour de Fleece thinking was I knew I was overzealous. And right away I knew that if I didn't get some of this gold done, it was okay because I piled a lot on myself. And so then I just calculated the weight in grams and then I divided it by 27 days. And that was only like 56, 57 grams a day.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So that had me super excited. I'm like, okay, I can do this. And I wouldn't be stressing my hands or my body. So during Tour de Fleece, I was very conscious of taking care of my physical health. So I was constantly stretching, taking breaks, massaging my arms and my shoulders, because I did not want it to cause me any injuries.
For sure.
And I think from now on, that's going to be a big part of trying to spin a huge amount of fiber.
How many hours a day were you spinning?
I didn't calculate that.
Like some of them must have been longer days for like the fine singles, and some of them you were doing thicker singles. So,
Yes, and only one of the spins was long draw. So, yeah.
Were you
But
doing like continuous back or short?
continuous back.
Okay.
Yes, continuous back for pretty much all of them.
Nice.
Yeah. And so my total weight was 1,952 grams of fiber.
One, so almost 2 kilos.
Yes, that's
Holy moly, that's a
incredible.
solid 4 pounds.
Yep, 4.3 pounds.
Oh my
Oh.
word.
Yeah, I was
Wow.
surprised. Yeah, because I was actually Thursday before the end of Tour de Fleece, I was done except for a little bit of plying. So I was
Wow.
kind of shocked. I was like, okay, what do I do now?
You get a fresh start for Tour de France Femme.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So I really enjoyed it. I spun some of it with the group that meets from Australia on Wednesday night or Wednesday morning.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I end up waking up around 3:30 and I jumped on with them and they stayed on like an extra hour and I was spinning with them. And that was really neat. So if anybody, wants to spin on this side of the world in the middle of the night, in a group, it's really cool.
That's fun.
Yes, if you can't sleep.
Little bit of company in your insomnia.
It was very nice. And I actually got to see kangaroos in the back of Robin's yard.
No, that's
Yes. It
amazing.
was really neat. It was a treat.
That is
Well, what
a
a cool
treat.
opportunity to hang out with some people that you don't always see, right? You chat
Yeah.
with them on Slack all the time and we interact all the time, but to actually get to like Robin comes on quite a lot, but some of the other members of that particular Zoom, they for time zones and all that kind of stuff, they can't make it onto some of the other Zooms. So to be able to hang out with them, like how fun is that?
It was fun, and Sue
Yeah.
was in her I don't know what you call it. She was traveling in her RV,
Motorhome.
thing.
Caravan.
Yeah, her
Yeah.
RV, and yeah, she was showing us some color work, and it was really neat to hang out with them.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Florence used to come to book club all the time. She'd get up super early. And then, with book club not being a thing anymore, because it kind of fizzled out, post pandemic and all that kind of stuff. I miss her energy, her 7 a.m., 6 a.m.
Yeah.
was
For
so fun.
sure.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed it. And it was kind of cool because my husband kept going around the house saying, "Why aren't you spinning?" It's like every time I take a break, he was like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "This is a race." I'm like, "Honey, chill." But it was cute because he knew.
He understands how important this is to you, which is so good, and your partner. So good.
And
Right
then for Tour
on.
de Femme, I've already spun 250 grams, and that's this what I'm working on right now, plying my
All Bird
plank.
Workshop.
Small Bird Workshop. Thank
That's what
you. Okay.
it
Thank you. I don't know why it slipped my mind.
Yeah,
Yes.
Catherine. Yeah, she's had to take a step back, unfortunately.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
spinning a lot of her fiber too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
you have a ton of it, Rebecca. Yeah.
yeah, that's cool. And then I started on the drop spindle, and I'm spinning some flax and alpaca. And I already did a sample of it. It's lovely to spin. It is absolutely beautiful. And my husband was like, "Oh, what are you doing on the drop spindle?" I'm like, I was kind of shocked because I haven't had my drop spindles out in a while. And I'm like, "You actually know what it's called?"
You remembered. Nice.
Yeah, I'm like, "You actually listen?"
That's
So
awesome.
cute. Yeah.
Sometimes some like spinning technical term will come out of the mouth of one of my family members, and I'm like, it's like worlds colliding or something, because it's I
Yeah.
do not think about those things in association with them, but they pick it up.
Yes, they do.
So funny.
They do absorb it.
Yeah. Believe it or not.
So yes, it was a busy month, but it was fun. A lot of fun.
For sure. Was there anything that you spun, Dion, that kind of came through, like was like really your favorite? Like was there anything that like really you just loved the spin, loved the finished yarn? Was it like was there a favorite?
I think my favorite was the purple BFL. It just kind of glided through my hands. And this, I think, was my second spin. And yeah, I think this was my favorite. Yeah. And I
Even through
actually
like the blurriness of Zoom, I can see like the gorgeous like twist angle and definition on the plies you got there. It's very squishable. Yeah.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. And actually, my worst spin was my Montedale cotton three ply. I just felt like it took forever because even as a three ply, it's probably fingering weight.
Oh wow. So you're
Yeah.
spinning fine.
Yes.
And you said you have six skeins of that?
Yes, I do.
Holy cannoli. How
Yeah.
much? Because that's for a sweater, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking of a sweater, but because it's such a high content of cotton and hemp, I might weave with it. I might add
Okay.
this and weave with it. Yeah.
Oh man,
That's
Dion,
gonna
you're
be
becoming like Rachel. You finish a big project and you're like, I'm gonna weave with it. I'm probably gonna weave with this. We always know what to
Yes,
expect.
I
Yeah, that's awesome.
I
That's a
have so
lot
much of it.
though. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, you could really do a big piece of fabric with that.
Yes, exactly. And then I
Oh
could like sew
yeah.
it into a summer top or a summer
Yeah.
cardigan. Yeah.
Serge it up. Oh, Dion, that would be incredible.
Yes.
Well, congratulations. That is a heck of a haul. And with all that fine stuff in there, it's not like if I were to spend like 4 pounds over tortafleece, it would be a lot of fat singles.
Yeah.
But you did some really serious fine singles in there, like a lot. So amazing.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things next year I would probably think about a little bit more is how I'm spinning. Like if it's long draw, if it's thick singles, if it's, I think I would think about that a little more.
Yeah. You think you would like break it up, like do different things more?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I
I
love
really appreciate that with like Crystal's stuff this year, Spun Up Girl. She usually does like one traditional yarn, like, and by traditional I mean like, you know, two or three plies spun in one of the traditional drafts, you know, and then plied end to end kind of thing. But then she'll do a core spun, and then she'll do a traditional yarn, and then she'll do a lock spun. Like I think there is something to not just mixing it up visually for creativity, but also like for your hands, like you were saying
Definitely.
earlier, Dion. Definitely.
And then I kind of was surprised how fast the breed blend and color study spun up, because that was 300 grams plus maybe another 75.
That's a lot. Yeah. And that's a huge skein that you're holding there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's a huge baby.
Like, can you even tie that into a skein? Like, into a,
Let's
because
see.
that's what, 375 grams ish?
That's like a whole animal.
Yeah.
Yes,
Like the size of one of
it's
Lisa's dogs.
a
Yeah.
shetland. So no, not really. It's kind of tough.
Oh, and it's like it's such the fibers are, slightly denser, compared to like say if it was like merino, for example. It's not going to bend very well.
Nope,
But yeah, look
not
at that. It just looks like a big lump.
it just knob of yeah.
Is a gorgeous skein.
And I do have plans. Here we go, Rebecca, to weave with this. This will be a skirt. This and my other skein.
Okay.
I want to do a
Man,
skirt.
I want to get on that bandwagon. Yeah, weaving pieces of skirt. I love it.
Yes.
So are you thinking all woven skirt or knit and woven? All
Oh,
woven?
yes.
Yeah.
With this. Yeah.
Wow. That would be incredible if you have enough yardage to do that with.
Yes. So this is 500, and this would be the warp. And then I have another, I think 500 for the
Holy
wrap.
smokes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah, and then I had a separate skein of gray too that should
Oh,
go
yeah.
in.
You could use that to weave the
Like a waistband.
the waistband, yeah, at the top. Gorgeous. That'll be fun to see you work through the sampling of that one because it'll be interesting to see what you decide to do for the skirt fabric, if you go with a twill or if you go with a plain weave, because the twill in a skirt, it would hang so beautifully, even if it was just a 2-2 twill, it would hang really, really nicely.
I was thinking a 2-1 twill.
Oh yeah, that would work too.
Yeah.
Because
And
it's
then
sewn, so the fact that it'll curl a little bit doesn't matter. Yeah.
And I was thinking
Gorgeous.
of possibly doing that on my rigid heddle because I would get wider panels.
Oh yeah, because your rigid heddle is wider.
And with a 2-1 twill, you can do that with just two heddles, right? Instead of three. Yeah, I have an
Yeah.
eye in that too.
Smart. And what are you thinking for set? Like 10 ends per inch, 8 ends per inch?
Between 10 and 8, I do not want it too stiff.
No, yeah, that would ruin it. Yeah, go more open. And then if you need to lock it down, you can fold it a little bit. Oh, beautiful. So inspiring.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I'm really excited to get that done like next. And then my confetti one, which I have finished before Tour de Fleece. I'm kind of like just enjoying the yarn right now.
Right on.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing, Dion.
You're
All right,
welcome.
Rachel, your turn. What was your tour experience like?
So I finished that Jacob that I talked about on the podcast last time. So that was episode 318. That was just a really great spin. Like it went so quickly. It prepped relatively quickly. It's 614 yards, sorry, 1,614 yards from, I think I figured out, I did weigh it and I don't know where my notes are and I don't think it's in Ravelry. But it's just shy of 300 grams. It's around 275 grams. It's light, it's airy. I put quite a lot of ply twist in it because, my plan was to put it on the loom. And, typical of these medium wools, Jacob's classified as a miscellaneous. But it's a medium. It feels medium. It spins medium. It's just got that way about it. But so much of the twist dissipates in the water. So there is a part of me, I'm wondering if I'm going to have to put it back through the wheel again, just really quick, just to tighten it up a little tiny bit. Just the warp. I maybe would siphon off what I need for the warp and tighten it up a little bit, even though like it's very, very well twisted. And it'll withstand warp, no problem. But just giving it that little bit more twist. I am finding that my hand-spun yarns need more twist if they're going to go on the loom. They work better, they tension better. Everything just is better when they're higher twist. Because that stole that I just finished, that was the bird's eye twill. The 1 2 3 4 1 2, 1 4 3 2 1 4 3.
No more
Four.
numbers.
It's the bird's
Stop.
eye.
Stop numbers.
It goes up and
I
down. It goes up and down the diamond. Once you understand the diamond, it's like, oh yeah, of course.
Literally.
But
Literally.
it's not Rose Path. It goes one more step for those who know Rose Path. Anyways, that one, I had spun that yarn so long ago that I wish I had put it through the wheel really quick. It would have been a quick fix. It would have been easy. And I think there would have been a little bit less problems with a couple of things that happened with that in the warp, that it just needed to be a little tiny bit tighter. And also when I was warping, just taking care that if I see a spot in the yarn, even if it's only an inch or two, that's like really, really thin, so those little areas in our yarn, you're knitting along and you're like, oh, this is so lovely. And then you come to the and you're like, what happened here? And there's like fiber missing and it's super thin all of a sudden. Just taking that out preemptively and recognizing that it's probably going to cause problems later and just fix it now, even if it means tying off one of your warp ends. I've been using a warping paddle to warp and it's been a game changer, but you don't see quite as easily like what's happening. So just taking a moment to look at the yarn as you're warping.
I'd love to see you do that because
Yeah.
I
I
haven't.
have to keep practicing a little bit, but what I'm finding actually is the big difference. I'm warping for a blanket right now, so it's gonna be the last project that goes on my LeClaire Jack before that gets moved along to somebody else. And what I'm finding is it's really preventing twists. So it's really preventing that yarn from getting tangled up because it's singles. The yarn, it's yarn that I bought years and years and years ago, and I just never made it a priority to put it on the loom. And I need the width of the jack to do this one last project, and then I'll move it along. And it's 800 ends, the blanket, because it's double weave. I'm halfway through making the warp, but it's singles. And so I was like, I do not want this getting tangled. And so the warp needs to be straight. And so the paddle, if I can't use a warping paddle by the end of 800 ends, it's me, not the paddle. Anyways, within like the first time using it, I was like, oh yeah, I totally get how this, it's great. So yeah, I'll see if I can, I'll show you one day, Dion.
Sounds good.
Anyhow, so I got that finished, but then I also had been working. I needed a break from that, and I wanted just like a really mindless spin that I could just spin end to end. So I actually pulled out my Bramble Ridge, The Cost of Eggs. So this was, I'll show it to you guys on the video, but of course you guys are listening, so you can't see it. But this was BFL Massam, and I think it's 75, if my memory serves, and I might be wrong, and Megan can correct me, but it was 75% BFL, 25% Massam. And I had spun this. This was also the base that Megan used. So this is Bramble Ridge hand-dyed fiber here in the greater Vancouver area. She in BC in Canada, she had used this base for the Giddy Up colorway for Knit City in Calgary in 2024. And I just all of a sudden had this like 2024, that was so long ago. It was a year ago. So Rebecca and I were leaving and meeting one another in like a couple of weeks from now, this time last year. And this colorway, Megan had dyed up and had at Fibers West that happens in March every year here. And I had gone not planning on buying anything and buying any fiber or anything, but I did pick up this braid because I just, the colors, that quail's egg, bluey green, kind of soft seafoamy color. It's not really seafoam, it's lighter than that. It's just so gentle with this, with the little bit of okra, kind of golden yellow. It just like I the colors just spoke to me. So I took the braid and I literally split it down the middle all the way into two piles. And then after I'd done that, made two kind of bundles of fiber. I was like, you know, I really don't want to spin this just sitting there, like spinning it end to end, like through the color, because the colors are beautiful, but you're not going to lose anything if you keep stripping it because it's sort of a glorified analogous braid. So I ended up making, it's kind of a bit of a two-ply fractal. So the one half, I split two more times and I made it, and I had three lengths of fiber spun each end to end. But then the other one, I stripped it and 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 stripped it. It was like falling apart. I stripped it so much and I pre-drafted all of it. So one of them, like when you have the skein laying out, it just looks very watercolory. Everything's really blended. There will be a bit of striping because you have color and you've got yarn. But and then I put a lot of twist in this. It's a little tiny, tiny bit crispy compared to my other one that I did for Knit City, after Knit City, that colorway. And I would really like to use this as a very, very neutral weft color for something float work, overshot, crackle, something, because these are totally my colors. So I'd like to do something. So it's just a matter of picking a background, like the ground color, whatever I want for the ground. Probably something like 10-2 cotton, something a little bit finer than 8-2. So it'll just make it, you know, and I'll set it a little bit more ohm pin, but not too ohm pin, and just give me lots of drape, something really, really lovely. So I spun that, and then I've got two things that, because you guys can't see it on the video and you're listening to me, I can chat about it really quickly. These were two samples for Melly Knits, actually, for my friend Melissa. One of them was the Sommelier, the Guts Club from July, and I spun it at the beach last week. I wanted to take something that I could get through and get done. And I can't tell you what the fiber is yet because I don't think that she's released it. Although by the time people listen to this, they'll have theirs. So I'm sure it's fine. It was merino. And I don't love spinning merino, but this was so long stapled. It was such a lovely prep and a lovely spin. This went like gangbusters. It was so quick and so easy. I loved it. But then this one was her Sommelier Firefly from July, and this one was really cool because it was a Romney, and the staple of the Romney is like seven, it's like 8 or 9 inches. It's so long, it is unbelievable. Let me measure it. Yeah, it's 7 inches. Super, super bouncy, springy. There's some fine crimp in there. Like it's just a beautiful lock. And then she combined it with some st more stinging nettle, because there was another one recently that I did for her that was stinging nettle, and some silk. And it's the pink is the silk. So you get these. It's very, very similar, actually. Dion, when you've been showing over the last couple of weeks, your Montedale.
Yes.
It is so similar, because you had the hemp in there, and then you put in the it was cotton, right, that you put in there?
Hemp and then
Hemp,
soft silk.
cotton. And then did you dye it? You dyed it, right?
I dyed the cotton hemp.
Yeah, and that's what gave it that beautiful heathering, right? So this one, the silk was the pink. So same colors as yours, and same thing. You get those like hits through the yarn where it's a little bit darker, and you get like this really beautiful. It's I was gonna say heathering, and it is heathering because of the white Romney that's in this one. But you get the tweed effect because of the chunks of silk that come through for this one. Yours, it would be the chunks of hemp and cotton.
Yeah.
But it makes it a like a really interesting yarn.
Yes.
So, and I had talked about on the show last time that there was another spin that I did for Melissa recently that was also the cotton and Himalayan stinging nettle with that crazy cross. It was like the CVM Dorset Gotland Charolais. It was basically a BC special. It's very typical here in BC to have those crazy crosses. And that was from the Barnston Island flock. Same as Rebecca had gotten a recent fleece from there as well. Or no, some fiber from there recently. Anyways, I did up a knit sample of that one and a woven swatch. And so I'll show that on the, I'll actually show it because you can't really get the sense of it on the podcast when it's audio. But I had said that that yarn would weave up really beautifully and it would be gorgeous in a twill because of those over under two and just the longer floats and whatnot. And it's funny, and it is, it shines in the woven fabric, but the knitted fabric was very surprising. It would work beautifully for a summer top of some kind, something light where you could have that little bit of drape and you don't need that bounce and sproing of the wool. Some of those summer shirts that have been really popular the last couple of years that have a little bit of lace work in the yoke or rely on stuff like I-cord bind off for the shoulders to give you like kind of a spaghetti strap kind of an idea. But because it has the strength of the plant fiber in there and not, and there's no bounce, right? There's no sproing, there's no, it just, it's almost like upholstery kind of quality. Not because it's not soft, it just has a certain plantiness to it. It kind of got me thinking about this one as well, because when I was over at Melissa's helping her card this one up, the Romney stinging nettle silk, it screamed the same thing to me as the other one that I had just done for her. So that was really cool to see, kind of, okay, let's take those principles and then instead of the cotton, let's put silk in. It's fun to be able to spin two of the both of them back to back. And then I started another spin for Tour de Fleece Femme, and I don't know if I'll get it done for Tour de Fleece Femme just because of how crazy this week has ended up being. But it was deep, deep, deep stash. And it was from Fat Cat Knits before she took her break and stopped dyeing and everything. And it's variegated BFL. And so it's these garish colors. It's called Godric's Hollow or something like that. And it's those colors. And James said to me when he saw me spinning, he's like, those colors look like Wicked, like this musical Wicked, the movie. Everything. I was like, yes, you're absolutely right, James. I can't believe you like picked up on that. So you guys can imagine what the colors are. They're like neon, sickly green, like bright garish purple. And this gorgeous, actually, it's one of my favorite colors. It's this gorgeous, deep, deep teal blue. So I'm spinning it end to end. It's in pieces because she was like getting rid of like the last tail end of her stuff and clearing out. So it's in pieces. So I'm spinning it all end to end. And actually, I'm doing something I never, ever, ever do. I'm going to chain ply it because the colors, it's going to look the best if the colors are stayed, if they stay lined up. And I actually am planning, Rebecca's going to roll her eyes. Thankfully, you can't see it in the radio show. I am going to weave with it, but it's because I want that same interaction of some of the recent woven stoles that I've done, where you get the green on green, but then you get the green on purple, where you're going to be able to see the woven pattern. It's that same kind of eye-catch kind of look. So I'm fi spinning it extremely fine, so that the three ply will be really super fine. So that's what I'm. I don't know if I'll get it done for Tour de Fleece Femme, but I would like to, and then I could ply it. Next week. So yeah, that's what I'm 2 ounces out of six done. So I've only got 4 ounces to go. And I did that in less than 2 days. So fingers crossed. Yeah.
I'm excited to see those colors.
Yeah. Yeah, they are bright. I'll show them on the podcast on Monday, on the live stream. It is bright. But with the variegated BFL, you guys know, you've got that dark variegated, it's dark BFL. There's white, gray, and dark gray, kind of a gray brown in the braid, right? So anywhere where there's that dark brown BFL coming through, it completely takes all of the brightness out of that color, which is why you have to put such bright dye on, right? Because it just tones it right down. So it'll be interesting to see what it looks like when it's done. It's going to look very muddy, and it won't look garish like you start off with. So yeah. Okay, Rebecca, your turn.
Oh, my turn. My tour de place has been kind of maybe different from the typical because I've been traveling for pretty much the whole thing. We left like a week before tour started, so I will often travel with my supported spindles, and I'll prep all the fiber beforehand and travel with a whole bunch of Pooney style Rolags off of my blending board. And then the punies just act like a really nice way to chunk my spinning so that, every day I can just try and spin one Rolag or two Rolags if it feels like, I have extra time. And that's really all I do. And it's not that much spinning because it only takes me like 15 minutes to spin up a Rolag into, because I'm spinning like for 2-ply DK. And so that's just really nice because it helps me make sure I get that time alone. Because a lot of times when you're traveling, your routine is like to the wind. And we have kids, so we're always like dealing with their needs and stuff. So just making sure that I can like just steal that time away and I'm not just always on my phone when I'm in between things has been just really, really nice. And on my spindles, I'm doing two of the blends for the Kvyat blending project that I've been working on. So I've got I kind of went out on a limb and made I'm starting to mix in like silks and other things in with the, sorry, my dogs are going nuts. In with the Kvyat and the wool, and I wasn't sure. Can you hear them? They're like, okay. I'm glad. They're so loud. I wasn't sure how much, like what proportions to use. So for the first couple blends, I did one that was like 75% wool and like 14.5% or 12.5% of Kvyat and something else. And then I did like 50% wool and then 25 of something else. And then I did like equal parts, which was a little bit crazy, but those equal parts ones were the ones that I spun while I was traveling. So equal parts, Kvyat, and this one, this sort of light golden brown one is Muga silk, so it's a golden silk and a white targi.
Oh, wow.
And then
Is that 50-50?
this is like equal parts of all three, so like 33, 33, 33.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then the one that I just finished plying here is sort of a dark, like gray, dark gray brown, because it's black Icelandic tell from a lamb's fleece that I processed myself, and peduncle silk, so gray silk and Kvyat. So
Ooh.
yeah, so I just sort of worked on those like couple here, couple there. And then when I'm at my mom's house, she lets me keep my Canadian production wheel at her house. So for the first week or so of the tour, she got like a Peacock subscription, which is how you watch the tour in the States. And we would just sit down every morning for, half an hour somewhere, and we would just spin, and it was just super, super nice. So I did on my CPW, I did two skeins of just plain wool, because I've started getting to the point where I want to spin the wools by themselves. I have eight different wools I'm spinning. So I got two of those done. So yeah, altogether it was only 4 times 80, 320 20 grams, 240 grams. I can't multiply in my
That's
head.
a lot.
240 grams. Yeah, it's not nothing. It's not nothing.
Yeah, on spindles mostly.
Yeah. So the real discipline for me is just to spin a little bit every day and be mindful of my surroundings. And that's really, really enough. One of these days, I'll stay in Nunavut for the summer and do a quantity spin. That would be really fun. But this is what I've done the last couple of years, and I really, really like it.
Rebecca, is there a percentage of kivyat that would be too much for the area that you live in?
Like too hot?
Yes, basically. Yeah.
No. You could use 100% kvyat stuff
Okay.
here, in the depths of winter. Like they would be great as like wrist warmers. My friend who sadly passed away a couple years ago, she would make 100% kvyat headbands. And those things sold like hotcakes. Like she had the fiber milled somewhere, and she could charge like $300 for them. And she would make these beautiful entrelac headbands, and yeah, people love those. People buy them a lot. So yeah, headbands, two thumbs up, because you don't even need a hat if you're out just bopping around town with one of those.
Okay.
Are there any of your yarns that you've done thus far, like the one that you've got the equal amounts or the 25% or like all the different ratios? Is there one ratio that you've come up with thus far that seems to be the sweet spot?
I really thought that the middling one would be just looking at the bats. When I blended them all up, I thought the 50% wool, 25 kvyat, 25 silk would kind of be a sweet spot, but I really liked all of them. The 15, the one with just like 12.5% kvyat is really, really nice if you just want a little bit of extra warmth. And I thought this would be the worst.
Yeah.
But spinning it on my support spindles, I mean, I blended it really well. It went through my drum carder four times and then on my blending board. So it's really well blended. I thought it would be hard to spin because there was so much silk in it, but it was actually the length of the targi that made it a little bit harder, as opposed to the Icelandic was super short. So that was actually easier, which was funny, because the Icelandic by itself was a huge pain in the neck to spin. But I didn't put it through drum carder, but that's a long story. Yeah, so it's hard. It's hard. Like I want to go forward and only do two blends for the rest of the wool, and I'm not sure yet what I'm going to do. I'll definitely do the 50, 25, 25, but I'm not sure whether I'll do more or less for the other ratio.
What are the eight wools again?
I have to look it up in my spreadsheet.
I remember when you bought them all. I was there. It was at
Oh my gosh, I got the funniest
Fibers
look.
West, right?
It was the Fibers West 2023. And this lady, I was in line to pay, and this lady looked at me and said, "What are you making?" And I was like, "It's for a blanket." She said, "Big blanket." I was like, "Thanks, lady. I don't know at all." But now that I've spun it, I'm like, "Oh, this is a lot." She was right. This is a lot. They are BFL, Icelandic Tell, Cormo, Cheviot, Rambouillet, Tunis, Targi, and Romney.
A
So,
really good smattering of stuff.
yeah. Wanted to get a little bit of everything.
Well, and like, yes, it's a lot of fiber because you had those eight, Carolyn Small Bird
Catherine.
Workshop.
Catherine.
Catherine. I was like, I know it's a C. Catherine had, we were just talking about her. Catherine had them all braided up, but they're not really like what we would think of as braids. Like they're sort of more, because they weren't all comb top, right? Some of them were rovings.
No, yeah, all the local stuff was roving, and just the Cheviot was from England.
That's right.
That was top.
Because she had them all braided. And yeah, it's a lot of fiber, right? It's 100 grams per one of those braids that Catherine used to make. But if you hadn't have had as much fiber, do you think you would have felt sort of the license and the freedom to be able to do the experimentation that you've done? Because you would have been worried that you were going to run out, right?
Totally. It's been very helpful having that much to play with. And
Yeah.
like, I know that I can spin the solids up with if I have leftovers and I'll still use them. I think I'll realize just how much it is when I go to knit it up, because it's like
Yeah.
I'm spinning, I calculated based on the pattern that I want to use that it's going to be, but I needed 80 grams of square. So I'm spinning 80 grams of each skein, but like it might only use half of a skein to like knit one of these squares, and I'll have like so much. So if when I end up with a massive blanket and like two or three sweaters, that's when it's going to be like, yeah, it was a lot of wool.
Yeah. Yeah, because the thing is, it's not just the 100 gram braids that you're using. It's all the add-ins as well. Like you've used a huge amount of fiber for this.
Yeah, I have like two massive bags of skeins, and I'm like halfway done this
I
project.
can't wait to see the photo. I don't want you to start knitting with any of it until you actually like can take a photo of it all.
I don't
Yeah.
either. Yeah. I mean,
Pile
this
a little
we're,
up on the snow.
there's a lot to be said for like learning by knitting your hand spun, but I'm like, yeah, I
Yeah.
don't want to. I want to have the giant pile of skeins at the end.
I
And this
refuse
is
to
your
knit.
second year, right?
Yeah.
Sorry?
This is her your second summer working on this, right?
This is my second summer traveling with it, but I've been working on it for a couple of years before that.
Okay. Okay.
Did you
Yeah.
start working on it as soon as you got back from Fibers West that year?
I think I had already started with some Cormo and the Icelandic that I already had. So I had already spun about four skeins, probably like a year b before, because I wanted to knit up one square to make sure that my plan would work. Yeah, so I started probably 2022.
It's kind of too bad you didn't do a master that like make this into a thesis.
I could.
Yeah,
I don't care about that. So,
I know, but like how, what a cool study.
yeah,
It's
I might make it
really,
into a, book or something at the end, an
yeah.
ebook maybe.
Well, and to see your spinning change too, like from 2022 when you first started to now, because you've really
For
been working on
sure.
it for 3 summers, because there was the summer of 2023, 24, and now 25.
Yeah.
Right? That's a
Yeah.
long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
And
you had
all of it
said on
natural
her, oh,
colors,
go
right?
ahead, Dion.
All of it natural colors too, right?
Yes, all of it natural colors.
Are you going to dye any of it afterwards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I really want to see those natural colors, how the kvyat changes the
Yeah.
natural colors. That's really important to me because like I made sure to have some white and some black and some gray. And there's actually some bleached white in there too, like some true commercial top that's like white. And I want to see how like the different amounts of kvyat, shift that color because it's really different. Because kvyat's such a unique kind of brownish gray color.
It'd
Yeah.
be
Do you
neat
have
to
a
see
creamy
like
white?
some mini skeins dyed.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dion,
That
I
would be
interrupted you
interesting.
again.
Do you have like creamy whites too? And
Yeah.
like, okay, beiges, meat, all the, oh.
I have like a really nice, the Rambouillet is this really gorgeous kind of oatmeal, like dark, like very close to the kvyat actually in color. And the Cheviot is a heathered gray. The Cormo and the Icelandic are both black. The BFL is the BFL and the Targi are both white. But then the Romney and the Tunis, the Romney's more of a yellowish natural, and then the Tunis is more of a true like natural white. So it's a good spread. I don't have like a beige or like a light oatmeal. But I'm not worried about it. I think I've covered enough bases. But that's a really interesting idea, Rachel, to like wind off a little mini skein and throw them in
Yeah.
some primaries and see what they do. That's a really good idea. I like that idea.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's kind of, it'd be neat to see how they the kvyat, like how they all take the dye a little bit differently, especially with like some of them with the silk content in there, just to have like
Yeah,
a,
for sure.
and you'd have like a bit of a library for future. It'll give you some color ideas and color inspiration, you know, where it's like maybe you don't want like a primary red or a primary yellow, but it gives you like an idea of sort of what it would look like if you created your own colors down the road and made some stuff. Because this, like, you're living in an area of the world where you're going to have that opportunity to incorporate kvyat over the years indefinitely, right?
Yep.
So, you know, the longer you guys stay in the north, whether you're in Nunavut or NWT, it doesn't matter. Like, you're going to have access to it, you know, in some way, shape, or form, which is really cool.
And after a while, you may want some color. And then
Yeah,
you
for
can build
sure.
it on eyes.
I've spun for socks for like 6 months, and so now I'm like, okay, I'm ready for some neutrals. But
I'm probably
come
also ready
winter.
for some new projects.
I'm on my penultimate pair of socks, and then I think I will not knit socks for like 5 years.
That's how I feel.
Right
There's a
now.
reason why I don't do a lot of socks anymore. Is it your last pair though? You're almost done, right? Next
I
year.
have I'm almost done my second to last pair, and the last pair is going to be a little bit thicker than the rest, so it'll go super, super fast.
That'll feel good. Yeah.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, you guys, for joining me today and for taking the time to record another episode of Wool and Spinning Radio. We will be back next month with something else. I don't know what we'll talk about, but we will cross that bridge when we get to it. So I hope everybody had a wonderful Tour de Fleece and a wonderful Tour de Fleece Femme. Thank you so much for participating. If you're a part of hashtag Wool and Spinning, Team Wool and Spinning, I think was our hashtag. I just want to wish everybody a really happy August. It's my favorite month of the year, so I feel like it's the Sunday of the calendar year. It's like the chance to actually have, a little bit slower days, and for us, we truly slow down. So, yeah. Thank you to both of you for taking the time.
Yeah, see you next time.